This is a podcast from Patriots.com.
Check it out. This is the sweetest thing I've ever done.
For information on this or any other Patriots podcast, visit Patriots.com.
Wow. And all this time, I thought Googling yourself meant the other thing.
Now, the writers of Patriots Football Weekly and Lori Baranski.
Friday, October 24th.
Boy, Lori, your voice has gotten deeper.
No surprise. The boys are back in town. The entire staff of PFW is here. Paul Perillo, Eric Scalavino, Michael Parenti, and myself, Andy Hart. But, of course, Lori has the day off for some reason.
Lori Baranski.
Everybody takes an average Friday in October off, so she's probably on the beach or doing whatever it is ex-cheerleaders
yeah, the
do
beach.
On days off. But anyway, we
beach,
have some actual transactions to talk about, some interesting roster moves from the week, and we will run through those quickly, and then we'll get the discussion with the boys.
You don't do anything quickly.
We start off on, you're lucky this is not PFW in progress, on the 20th, game day. Steve Neal was activated from PUP into the active roster and then played in the game, rotating through with Billy Yates. Mike Richardson was also signed to the active roster and played. Lawrence Maroney was placed on injured reserve with a shoulder injury, ending his third season, and Dan Conley was released from the roster. And then later in the week, Rodney Harrison was placed on injured reserve with a thigh injury stemming from an injury suffered trying to tackle Jay Cutler in the third quarter on Monday night. Antoine Spahn fills his roster spot and is bumped up from the practice squad. And then Dan Conley was re-signed to the practice squad, as was safety Mark Dillard. We'll get to Maroney in a minute, but since that's a little bit old news already, we'll get back to that. First, we'll talk about Rodney Harrison and the hole that is left at strong safety in the New England defense. Paul Perillo, I know he's your favorite player in the history of this team, so I'd like you to start the discussion off.
Well, because of that, I'm not sure I'm really fit to do that.
Tough week for you?
It was a tough week.
Your eyes look a little red. Yeah. Kleenex just finally got put away.
Well, obviously, the other two starters, and I call them both starters because Merriweather Sanders and Harrison were out there for the vast majority of the snaps through the first six games. I think, on that surface, on that level, I don't think really much changes. Sanders and Merriweather will play full-time as they have been, but your depth, obviously, has been chipped away here. You had 3 for 2. Now, really, you only have two guys. And on top of that, Harrison is one of those guys that does so many different things well, has all that experience. He can get to the line of scrimmage. He can be the extra guy at the line in the box against the run. He can blitz off the edge, and he can cover. So, you know, Belichick said it, you're not going to be able to replace that with just one guy.
That may be true, but I think more of the loss is on the emotional side because, you know, Rodney's always been the type of fiery personality in the locker room, on the field. But on the field, Paul, I think I might have to agree with what Andy has said recently about this in that the way Brandon Merriweather's been playing, I think he's leading the team in interceptions right now.
Yep, three.
James Sanders may be more naturally suited to playing that position that Rodney had played more closer to the line of scrimmage. I don't think they lose a heck of a lot talent-wise on the field with those two guys. Depth-wise, they certainly do. But if you're just talking about those two guys playing almost every down now, I think they'll be in pretty good shape.
And that's not to say that suddenly James Sanders is Rodney Harrison, is going to blitz off the edge with a sack and then be picking off passes. No. Rodney's numbers and his production are unprecedented. He's the only guy that's ever done the combination of coverage, blitzing the quarterback, line of scrimmage ever. He's that 30, I think he's at like 32 sacks, 34 picks, whatever. He's the only guy in that category. So that's not to say that they don't miss anything, but I do think in those two players, it allows them to fall into roles that maybe they're more naturally suited in their skills.
Well, I think the big thing, too, is this is a real big transition for Merriweather in a really big next 2 or 3 months because he was brought in here possibly as the Rodney Harrison replacement when he was drafted. And now with Harrison being done for the year and possibly done for his career, I think the way Merriweather plays from here on out could determine what this team does in the offseason in terms of roster moves and what they're going to do with safety going forward.
Yeah, I mean, in an ideal situation, you go, wow, that last 10 games was really good. We are set at safety for the next X number of years because those two guys are young, they know the system, they play well together, they communicate. Because I do think that is better, and Eric, you talk about the leadership and the fire and everything. I think they are better suited now because of the experience and because of everything that's been said about those two guys. They're better suited than when it just all fell apart without Harrison 3 years ago, 4 years ago,
when
they had to bring in Artrell Hawkins to move and play safety, and he was the calming force.
That's a perfect point. To what I'm talking about, as I said, I don't think they lose anything on the surface in terms of the starters because Merriweather and Sanders have been starting. But you're not replacing Rodney with Sanders or Merriweather. You're replacing him with either Lewis Sanders or Antoine Spann or whoever else they decide is the third safety. That's
yeah,
the
really
guy that's being replaced because you had three safeties and now you only have two.
Well, so I think it's just going to alter their nickel and dime packages
exactly.
a little bit.
I think it
that's
the
big deal, though.
I think Will Height is next in line.
Okay.
So you're replacing Rodney with Will Height, not with Merriweather or Sanders.
See, I think Will Height and Sanders are fine. I'm not really all that worried about it.
Well, Mike Richardson got a lot of playing time on Monday.
Yep.
So here's a guy looking forward who may possibly be able to slide into a more productive role, maybe more on a full-time basis as a nickelback.
I do think Sanders is the guy moving forward, but he's banged up, and I think that's why you're going to see him. He's been limited in practice, hasn't been out there, so you won't get a full picture of what this secondary might be for a couple weeks now, possibly. But I think he's the guy, is a safety corner hybrid type player, like maybe a Merriweather has been over the last six games in the beginning of the season where he's been playing a variety of roles in the slot, deep middle of the field, different things. I think Sanders is most likely next in line for that spot.
And one of the things you're not going to see, at least it doesn't appear to be at this point, is what you referred to, Andy, from a few years ago, them bringing free agents in and signing guys. A name that has come up a lot this week from fans writing into us was John Lynch.
And our roster's full.
And that was Bill's answer,
Bill
basically,
pretty much that
when that question came up in his press conference. So it looks like they're pretty happy with what they have right now, and they're gonna make do with that.
So we will find out. It's not to say that they're not going to be worse off or be the same defense, but I think they're better suited than they ever have been in the past during other Harrison injuries to deal with this loss. And as Mike said, there's a good chance I think this is the end for Rodney Harrison. This is a major injury with a reported torn right quad. I think would be difficult for anybody to come back from, but a guy who's already come back from major knee injury, who's 35 years old, whose contract was already running out. So it's not, he'd actually have to get somebody, whether it's Patriots or someone else, to sign him and give him a job. I just think all the pieces come together. This is probably the last we'll see of Rodney Harrison, which, especially for Paul, is sad, sad day.
It's a little sad.
Okay, now let's look back to the weekend for a minute because obviously last Friday we didn't have a chance to talk about it because it hadn't happened yet. Lawrence Maroney is on injured reserve with a shoulder injury. Shoulder injury that's been bothering him all season. And I guess this is apparently the issues he was dealing with when he talked with you guys out on the West Coast. And in conjunction with that, before I let you guys start discussing it, Lamont Jordan and Sammy Morris still injured. Morris goes out in the first half. After 138 yards against the Broncos, has missed practice all week. Lamont Jordan still dealing with a calf issue. So, Paul Perillo, talk about the lack of depth at this point right now at running back.
Well, let me just add that NFL Network had a report today that says Morris will be out 2 to 3 weeks. So, take that report for what it's worth, face value, whatever, who knows.
Nothing.
But, obviously the depth there that you thought was going to be plentiful, once again, Belichick, as always.
Because depth in August
doesn't always translate to depth in November and December.
Or even October.
In this case, Halloween.
It's funny because it reminded me during the preseason when you talk about all these running backs, who's going to get the ball, how many carries are you going to get? It's like saying you have too much pitching.
Right.
It always takes care of itself.
Oh, yeah.
Here we are
every
in October.
Every spring, the Red Sox have six starters. What are we going to do?
Yeah, and three guys are out already. I mean, obviously, Maroney's a loss. While he was out there playing, he wasn't really producing.
Oh, I thought you meant a tackle for a loss.
Yeah. I'm obviously more concerned about Sammy Morris going forward because he had a big game against Denver, a big half rather, and he has played well in that backup role. So now what do you do? And if Jordan's not ready to come back on Sunday, who's going to run the ball? It's going to be Kevin Falk and Ben Jarvis Green-Ellis.
You know what I miss about Morris, I think, and I think the players and teammates miss this? As we've talked about, this team still, I think, searching for an identity and offensively still searching for an identity under Matt Castle. I think there's a chance they could turn into that run-run-throw identity that we've talked about on PFW in Progress in recent weeks. And it seems like the fullback Heath Evans and the offensive lineman like Sammy the Bull, the guy they call the Bull because you hand him the ball and he runs into somebody and he usually gets somewhere between 4 and 7 yards. Mm-hmm. And I think they really, really like that. And I think that's not just the 7 yards they miss, but the way he gets the 7 yards and the way he puts their blocks to use.
You like blocking for a guy like that because he doesn't waste your blocks.
Right. You really get that
you
feeling.
You know where he's going to be, too.
Right.
I think Matt Light talked about that a little bit after the game the other day.
And I think there's something to that. And, you know, Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis did a nice job in the second half, and he comes in, and they've said good things about him being a similar runner, doesn't dance. Josh McDaniels talked about him today, doesn't dance, knows what he is, doesn't try to be something he's not, gets to the hole and just hits it. But I feel like they really like Sammy Morris when he carries the ball. Like, yeah, we're all one unit here running the ball.
And it's kind of unfortunate that that's being said, because it's almost kind of a backhanded slap at Lawrence Maroney.
Right.
Who
I took all those comments that same way.
Right. who was known to be a little bit of a dancer, who didn't always hit the hole. You weren't kind of sure what you had with him most of the time. Obviously, they don't have to deal with that aspect of the running game for the rest of the year. So if you want to look at the bright side, yeah, they have a guy like Morris. They have Jordan, who by all indications will probably be back soon.
I think both guys are going to be back. So
eventually, yes.
Yeah.
But that was one of the encouraging signs, I thought, the other day about the injuries, was that we kind of all expected Harrison's news to come, and it did. And I was a little bit worried when Morris didn't come back in the second half that we were going to get that news as well, kind of like last year when he had the big game against Cincinnati, and then in Dallas he gets hurt and is out for the rest of the year. The fact that he didn't and that he's still listed on the injury report tells me that it's not as bad a situation, and that we'll see him again.
Right.
And if Paul's right about that NFL Network report.
Yeah, I was going to say NFL Network report, not Paul's.
If Paul watched TV, right. I think they're both going to be back, and I think you need him to be back. I think it's a nice story when Heath Evans gives you 80 yards like he did a couple years ago, or Ben Jarvis Green Ellis gives you 65, or Paul's old friend Robbie Abdullah scores a touchdown in a reserve role.
Got blown off by him trying to do an interview.
Bottom line is you need somebody who you can go into a game and say, I can give him the ball 20 times if I need to. And Lamont Jordan and Sammy Morris, I think, are that. Kevin Falk, Heath Evans, and Ben Jarvis Green Ellis aren't, I don't think. Although I will say about Green Ellis, the guy produces. Let's look at his career. He was at Indiana, 1,000 yards, 1,000 yards. The coach is fired. He transfers. Goes to Ole Miss, 1,000 yards, 1,000 yards. Doesn't get drafted. No one wants him. Blah, blah, blah. Comes to camp. Patriots give him a chance. He rushed for 65 yards in the second half. So, I mean, not to put
the cart
before
the horse. I
didn't think
he was terribly impressive during the summer, but he did a nice job
on Monday
night.
Yeah, and nice maybe he, you know, Sammy Morris wasn't all that impressive until he got here and impressed us.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're describing Ben Jarvis Green Ellis in sort of the same way, that he just takes the yards that are there, knows where the hole's going to be, hits it, uses his power and just tries to get what he can get, you know, maybe he's going to be a Sammy Morris type, and that we see him get opportunities and go, he's not all that pretty and it doesn't look all that good, but he gets you the 4 yards. And, you know, if they can get that out of him, it'll be another in a long line of, you know, injuries and guys stepping up. So that's something to keep an eye on. The rest of the injury report, Eric Alexander returned to practice. Kelly Washington returned to practice. Some of the guys that are out are obviously Jordan and Morris, Crable. Nick Kazier returned to the practice field today and was out there, although they are in sweatpants and just kind of half walk through, half practice mode. So the health right now is a question, like it is for all teams. As Paul likes to ask, is this more injuries than ever? Who knows? But the Patriots will continue to do what they do, and that's deal with them, and we'll continue to do what we do. And that's talk about the injuries and how they affect the roster, the 53 men that take the field every week.
And we made it without Lori Baranski.
We always do. Says something about her value to this team. All right, that's going to do it. See you next week.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from Patriots.com. Log on anytime for more news and more podcasts from your favorite team and Patriots.com. I can't get no relief.